Now, the November elections are less than 4 months away, and the Federal Elections Commission lacks a quorum to conduct business. This is the second time within just a few months that the elections watchdog has been sidelined because of a lack of the needed commissioners in place. So what does this mean for the integrity of our electoral process? Chara Torres-Spellacy teaches constitutional law at Stetson University in Florida, and she's a fellow at the Brennan Center for Justice at NYU School of Law. She's also the author of the book Political Brands. Chara, good to have you back.
Thanks for having me back.
Can you remind us what the FEC is responsible for?
Sure. The Federal Election Commission enforces federal campaign finance law. So they are the watchdog on disclosure of money in politics. They also enforce the hard money limits, so how much you can give to a federal candidate. And they are one of the last cops on the beat to keep foreign nationals from spending in U.S. elections.
So how are commissioners chosen to serve on the FEC?
You are nominated by the president, and then you are confirmed by the Senate.
And is there a bipartisan aspect to it, or can the president choose whoever he or she wants?
So by statute, the FEC cannot have more than three members of any political party. So it's a commission of six, but they need at least four commissioners to run. And with the exit of Commissioner Hunter, they have been left once again with only three commissioners, which is a lack of a quorum.
So the commission had been without a quorum last year and then regained it earlier this year. But late last month, as you said, Republican Federal Elections Commission Commissioner Caroline Hunt resigned. What reason did she give?
You actually don't really have to give a reason. If you get another job, you can just leave. It's sort of like at-will employment. You have the ability to leave your government job if you really want to. She has another employment opportunity, and so she is left for that employment opportunity, and that then leaves her old agency, the Federal Election Commission, lacking a quorum, which means that they can't enforce campaign finance laws right now.
Something I saw, a quote from her, made it sound like she was concerned about how the commission was doing its work, and especially in conflict with the chair of the FEC. What kind of signals have we gotten about how well they were working together in that brief window of time when there was a quorum?
Yeah, so they lost a quorum between September of last year and June of this year. And then they've lost it again starting July 4th. And even when the FEC has a quorum, it is notorious for deadlocking. So the makeup of the FEC was purposefully bipartisan. So you have when it's fully staffed, you have three Republican appointees and three Democratic appointees. And that was on purpose, that is by design, so that the Federal Election Commission doesn't bully the party that is not in power. However, you also need four commissioners to agree before the FEC does almost anything. And because of this 3-3 split, often what you have is, say, the three Democrats will, you know, vote to go ahead and enforce a particular campaign finance law. And then all three Republicans will say, no, we're not enforcing that campaign finance law, which means you don't have four votes to enforce that campaign finance law. And so even before they lost their quorum, they were sort of hopeless with these deadlocks.
We're talking with Chara Torres-Spellacy right now. She teaches constitutional law at Stetson University in Florida. And we are talking about the Federal Elections Commission again being without a quorum. And we spoke with you in March, Chara, about the lack of quorum then, and you were concerned about the impact on the November election. Here we are 4 months closer to that election than we were when we last spoke. How serious would you say this current situation is?
Well, from the perspective that I have, which is I want campaign finance laws to actually be enforced so that everyone plays by the same rules, I think it's actually quite dire that we don't have the FEC fully staffed and fully functional. I mean, I just checked the numbers today, and we've already had $4 billion spent in the federal elections alone. Most of that was spent in the presidential race, and a huge portion of that was from Michael Bloomberg, who spent $1 billion on his failed presidential run. But that's real money, and you want to have a commission that brings transparency to money in politics. I mean, the FEC was created post-Watergate as a reform. One of the things that happened in Watergate is you had secretive money, you had illegal money, you had money from corporations, which wasn't allowed. And part of why we have an FEC at all is to bring greater transparency, so you have less dark money in the system, and to instill trust between the voting public and the elected officials, so that you know where they got their money that they use for their political campaigns.
So in the months that the commission didn't have a quorum, and now that they don't again, are there specific issues and situations that you're worried haven't been addressed or won't be addressed going forward?
Well, one of the things that I've been distressed about for many, many years at this point is, so famously about 10 years ago, there was a Supreme Court case called Citizens United, which allows for corporations to spend an unlimited amount of money in federal elections and really state elections too. But for our purposes, it's only the federal elections that come under their jurisdiction. And so I've sort of been waiting for all of these years, 10 years, for the FEC to actually promulgate new rules, which make it perfectly clear that corporate money has been spent in a particular way. But they've never done that rulemaking. And without a quorum, they can't make that rulemaking now.
Any other issues that you're afraid of? I mean, is the issue of whether there are foreign powers trying to interfere in our elections something that the FEC could or should be doing something about?
Well, it doesn't help things. So one of the longstanding prohibitions in federal campaign finance law, which actually predates the existence of the FEC, is a ban on foreign nationals spending money in U.S. elections. And that prohibition, it's dually enforced between the FEC and the DOJ. So the DOJ is sort of the final stop and the final cop on the beat when it comes to foreign interference in U.S. elections. But the jurisdiction for the DOJ is a little bit more limited because they can only go after willful violations of law. The FEC has a broader mandate. They can go after inadvertent violations of law or repeated violations of law that don't rise to the level of criminality. And it's that sort of extra layer of protection that is lost whenever the FEC loses its quorum.
Now, you said that the commissioners are appointed by the president, and I believe you said it was the Senate that needed to confirm them. Have we gotten any signals that there is the political will to replace not just the Senator Commissioner Hunter, Commissioner Hunter, who resigned, but perhaps add that fifth or sixth member anytime soon?
Well, if we had a president who was fond of campaign finance law, then I think you would see nominations for all three empty seats on the FEC. But that is not the world that we live in. So right now, we are the White House has actually already nominated an individual for Caroline Hunter's spot. And so we're waiting for the Senate to act. His name is Alan Dickerson. He is a legal director of a conservative institute for free speech. So he is likely to come onto the commission hostile to enforcing campaign finance laws.
And briefly, before we let you go, Chara, what are you going to be watching for in the days and weeks ahead?
It's going to be such a strange election. I think mostly because of the pandemic and not because of the loss of the quorum at the FEC. But I think you should try to track where money in politics is being spent. It can tell you a lot about where a candidate really, where their loyalties lie. And I think it's one of the things that you can take into consideration as a voter. If you see that a particular candidate is supported by individuals and groups that you find, you know, politically attractive, that might be a sign that the candidate they're supporting is also aligned with your point of view. And the opposite can be true. Once you figure out who's actually funding a particular candidate, they can look a lot less attractive.
Well, Chara, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Chara Torres-Spellacy teaches constitutional law at Stetson University in Florida, and she's a fellow at the Brennan Center for Justice at NYU School of Law. She's also the author of the book Political Brands. She joined us today to talk about what impact the lack of a quorum on the Federal Elections Commission could have on the November election.